And so I guess I want to give you like a little background of sort of like where this came from and what the point of it is. And I'll start with the following funny but sad story, okay? A few yeshiva bachrim were talking to their Rebbe, and the Rebbe wanted to make a point to them, and he said, you know, where's Hashem? And so some gave, you know, your typical answer, like, oh, Hashem's in shul. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. And this one bachur looks a little quiet, and the Rebbe looks at him, he says, where's Hashem? He says, in the bathroom. The Rebbe's like, excuse me, that's a bit irreverent. Tell me more. What do you mean? And he says, you know, on Arab Shabbos, when I go to take a shower, my father's pounding on the door and he's saying, Rebbeinu Shalom, get out of there already. So it's kind of funny, but also kind of sad, right? He's saying, my father thinks this is the most important thing. Five more people have to take showers. The stress is through the roof. And get out of the bathroom. And that's all that's important right now. So he says, you know, I think this is just something that we think about. I think most people can probably relate to that image of five more people still have to take a shower and Shabbos is in an hour and get out of there and move in and we have a million things to do. And most people relate to that. It's not like, what? Right? It's like, yeah, Arab Shabbos gets a little crazy. So why is it that doesn't matter if Shabbos is at 4 o'clock or at 8 o'clock, we just can't always get it together, and those last few minutes are so stressful. So one explanation is because Rav Pinkus talks about the idea that Shabbos is light, Shabbos is clarity, and the Yetzer Hara knows that for the next 24 hours, he's going to be out of commission. We have an extra neshama, an extra soul, and we have an extra koach to connect to Hashem and to connect to that light. So he tries very, very hard to get in those last licks before Shabbos starts. So that's one idea. You know, it's his last ditch effort. And then when we light the Shabbos candles, somehow everything just like calms down and some of that tension just melts away. The words Neros Shabbos Kodesh is an acronym for Neshek. Anyone know what Neshek means? Weapons, right? It's our weapon. And if you think about this, like, it's our weapon when we light candles. We also know, I think it's a Yalkut Shimoni, it says, Imatem Mishamrim Neros Shal Shabbos, Ani Mar Elachem Neros Shal Tzion. Some of you might know a song. I know two songs to it, which I will not sing with them next door. And because I don't have a singing voice. If you keep the candles of Shabbos, I will show you the candles of Tzion. And this idea that when we light candles, it's a weapon. It's a weapon against our enemies because we're bringing more light into this world. And so I think, you know, at the beginning, like let's say right after October 7th, a lot of people were taking new things on. And a lot of people took on that they were going to light Shabbos candles early and kind of add to that peacefulness of Shabbos. And I think that's a wonderful, beautiful thing. In fact, the hostages that were rescued last week, there was a story going around that one of the hostages' daughters like had just taken on to light Shabbos candles and like to bring that light to the world. I want to share something a little personal. People were saying this, right, about keep taking on extra Shabbos, and I knew that for me, taking on Shabbos early was not happening. So even though we give you all the tricks, which I'll talk about in a second, I knew like that was going to be challenging for me to make Shabbos early. So I decided I will have my Tosefes Shabbos at the end of Shabbos, and I would start Bli Nedar keeping 72 minutes instead of 60 after Shabbos, because sometimes you have to be practical. And I knew I didn't want to take on a Kabbalah that was going to make me more stressed. So when we think about this, like bringing more light is amazing, but we also have to know ourselves and know what we can and can't do. And I think that that's just something to think about when we take things on. And I'm also telling you that because if you think I have all the tricks and that's why you came to hear me, I will share a lot of tricks with you. But we once went to a rabbinic conference and someone asked, you know, how can we give people advice, you know, on all sorts of things like Shalom Bayis and Chinuch and this and that and Midos, if like we're not perfect, then how can we do that? It seems so hypocritical. And the rabbi who was on the panel said, be a hypocrite. Meaning, it's not that you don't believe you should do those things, you're trying your best. And we're not always perfect. So I'm sharing that with you that I'm far from perfect. But the idea of Shabbos candles certainly bringing in more light. I recently heard someone from Rabbi Sandina Schoonmaker, a beautiful thought. She said, one idea of Shabbos candles is it's for Shalom Bayis. And she says, because if it's dark, right, if it's dark, you can't see, then you trip, and then people get angry when they trip. So that's why we light Shabbos candles. So she went a little bit deeper on this. She said, you know, let's say you have a beautiful couch. And this beautiful couch, when it's dark, you're not seeing the couch, and you keep banging into it and stubbing your toe. And you're like, oh, that couch. Is the couch the problem? No, right? You turn on the lights, you see the couch, and you appreciate the couch's beauty. So she says sometimes we zone in on our family members' idiosyncrasies and the things that are annoying about them. And really, maybe that's not the problem. Maybe you just need to shine a little bit of light and see the good. And that's one idea from the Shabbos candles. Okay. One more thing I just want to... We will get very practical. This is just like a little bit of introduction, okay? One time, I don't remember all the details, but basically there were like some big medical things going on in our family. And we were waiting for results for something for one of my kids. And I had something going on with my eyes where the doctor said to me, we're going to wait for results, but like either you have dry eye or you have an autoimmune disease. And I was like, oh, right? And waiting for the doctor to get back on that. And I'm feeling very tense. And I decided... That as a zchus, to just like be really, really careful with what I said to the people in my house that Shabbos. And I kind of based it on what we say in the Mishaberach for the Cholim on Shabbos. We say, Shabbos himi lizok or fuah krova lavo. Shabbos stops you from crying out. You know, we're not allowed to daven and beseech Hashem on Shabbos. And a refuah will come quickly. So I took a little twist on it, and I said, Shabbos himi lizok. Shabbos stops you from screaming, not screaming in tefillah, but screaming at everyone around you. And I did that as a zchus that, you know, the results should come back good. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says on that, that when you visit someone who's sick, instead of wishing them refuah shleima, which is a form of tefillah, you say, Shabbos himi lizok or refuah krova lavo. V'rachamav mirubim, and Hashem's rachamim are great. V'shivsu b'shalom. And you should rest in peace. So I was just thinking, like, now, this could also be something, if you can do some things that take the stress out of things, then maybe you could take that as a kabbalah, as a chus for Eretz Yisrael, like to take that space and take that step back and be able to hold yourself back from yelling at people, and then maybe that could also be a chus for racham of merubim, for Hashem's great rachamim, and for having Shabbos in peace, in shalom. So as we go through, I'm going to give you some tips that will make things less stressful so that you can kick the satan out on Erev Shabbos and have that light and the peace on Erev Shabbos and on Shabbos. Now, tonight is going to be like more like very practical things. Next week, we're going to talk in a very fun way. It's very participatory next week, a little different than this week, where we're going to go through different scenarios of different things that happen on Shabbos that sometimes make Shabbos more stressful and kind of look at some ways to take that stress down. And I think it will really be a fun, funny night. So that's a plug for next week. So we know that Kol Mi Shetarach B'Shabbos, you saw on the flyer, it said anyone who works on the Erev Shabbos, Yochal Shabbos, we'll eat on Shabbos. If you want to eat on Shabbos, you got to put in a little effort before Shabbos to get things set up, right? This is a muscle for life in general. If you want to have something, you need to put in the work beforehand. So one thing I just think about when it comes to Shabbos is like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be gourmet. It doesn't have to be over the top. It's okay if it's simple. Now, there's such a thing as Shabbos food. It should be special. You shouldn't just serve your Weekday Macaroni or your peanut butter and jelly. Whoever read that book, label, what is it? Label. Label, yeah. I have all their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? There's something about Shabbos that we don't serve peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But just because we're serving nice Shabbos food doesn't mean it could be it could still be like the Shabbos usual, right? You don't have to reinvent the wheel every week. Find the things that work for you and do those things. Some people, I'm going to give you a lot of different stuff tonight. Lots of different tips. Now, some will work for some people. Some will work for other people. I hope you'll find something in what I say to take from. If you're like, but that doesn't work for me because whatever, fine. So don't do it. Just don't interrupt me to tell me it doesn't work. And I will leave you time at the end for sure to chime in with some of your own tips because I'm definitely not the only person in this room with wisdom in these matters. Now, some people love getting their hands dirty in the kitchen and cooking and baking, and it's a covered Shabbos, and it's a wonderful reason to do it. So if you love to do that, like, gags and say, hey, do it, enjoy, make things, and potshki, and that's fine. However, first of all, some people don't love to do that stuff, so some of this is directed at those people. Some people do love to do that stuff, but like they work full time, they don't have time, it just doesn't always work for them. And also, even the people who love to do it and are very organized, I'm gonna leave them later. Life throws curveballs. You thought you had it all organized, and all of a sudden it's Erev Shabbos, and someone calls, we're coming for Shabbos with our 5 kids, our 10 kids, and you're like, right? How do I do this really fast? Or someone's sick or whatever. So the point here is not, making Shabbos quickly is not an end in itself. You know, if you can do more Lakavet Shabbos, that's beautiful and that's wonderful. My point here is that if you streamline your Shabbos preparation a little bit, it's a concrete way that you can do several things. You can free yourself up to say yes to other things that are more important to you. So sometimes that Shabbos preparation is the most important, but sometimes there's just a lot of other stuff going on that you want to prioritize. So sometimes if you can make Shabbos in less time, you get to do other things that are important. You can also have more resources if you want to do all this potshkiing for Shabbos and then you're exhausted and you're being mean to everyone and you're snapping and you're grouchy. That's not a good thing either. So better to have one less dessert, one less kugel, and a happier, more like relaxed wife and mother. And it also gives you a chance to say yes when people in your family ask for things or to say yes to a last-minute chesed. So hopefully the more you, you know, take some of these things, like we're not cutting corners because we're lazy. Lechem atzus lo sochel, right? We're not doing this because we're lazy. But the idea is that when you do this, the intention is you can elevate your whole Shabbos. You know, by taking care of some of these externals in a more efficient way, then sometimes you have more space to focus on that internal and create that mikdash ma'at, that miniature Beis HaMikdash within your home. Okay, so basically I'm gonna go through with you a few general tips, just so you get how I'm going here. General tips, things about your freezer, things you could do all week to prep for Shabbos, things that you could do on Thursday, on Erev Shabbos, it's not on your handout. Those are just recipes. On Shabbos, on Matzah Shabbos, and then, I feel like I missed something here. I don't know. Okay. What? Motzei Shabbos. Yeah? Motzei Shabbos. You'll see. I have ideas there. Okay. So, general tips. First of all, I already said this. Like, know yourself. If something is something you can't do, don't try to do it just because everyone else is doing it. Okay? If you're like, this is not my forte, then don't do that thing, whatever that is. Also, like, if you know that you're someone who gets tired very easily, so then don't plan a cooking marathon for 12 hours in your kitchen. Split it up, right? You have to know yourself and know what works for you. And again, there are different realities you can be aware of. You might say, in general, I'm a person who can X, but I'm just coming off COVID, so I just don't have the energy. So the next few weeks, I'm not doing those things. Or, you know, you're expecting and you're just feeling lousy and you just can't do those things. So know your reality and be real with yourself, okay? The next few points I want to make have to do with divide and conquer. You don't have to do everything yourself. There are other people who can help you. So first of all, other people in the house can help. Not everyone in the house might want to help. There are ways you can make it more exciting. Give them the jobs that they like. You know, if your kids hate being in the kitchen, but they're great at cleaning up the toys, let them do that. If your husband's like, you know, I'm happy to do errands for you, but don't give me anything to do in the kitchen, fine, like work with what people like to do. And yes, that means you're going to have to do sometimes the things you don't like to do. That's okay, but try to split it up. Another thing I think about is sometimes when you all work together, it goes faster. So what might take me a half hour to sort out or fold the whole basket of laundry, I really don't fold laundry. We just sort. Only like shirts get folded. Everything else, pajamas, underwear, socks. Everyone gets their own stuff, but yeah, no folding. But you know what? What will take me a half hour if everyone gets in the room at the same time. And again, I'm not saying your two-year-old can necessarily help, but maybe your two-year-old can help. Maybe your two-year-old can fold the washcloths or something, right? Like, so divide and conquer. Let everyone, right? Then all of a sudden, five people helped. And everyone put in 5 minutes. It took 5 minutes instead of your 25 minutes. Also, like having the kids help clear the table or serve, depending on their ages. In our house, it's if you help clear the table, you get dessert. Until my kids smarted up and they said, well, what's for dessert? Oh, kind of like that. So it's like, you're just clearing the table no matter what. And also, help if kids like to help in the kitchen, my kids will help me peel, chop, braid challahs. Even when they were little, I know my kids now are not so little, but even when they were younger, they definitely could help with those things. This past Pesach, my stepfather bought us a Rotato. It's like an automatic potato peeler. That was great. My kids love that. They put the apples on, they put the potatoes on, and they just, you know. And I'm not saying you have to buy that, but like it was a way to get them more excited about peeling potatoes. And also divide and conquer. Sometimes you want to split cooking with your friend or your mother or your sister. Hey, I'll make the gefilte fish and you make me an extra kugel or whatever, right? Sometimes that also works. Or if you're having friends over, potluck sometimes works. You know, sometimes maybe it's Shabbos and you're like, I can't so much, like, let's go to that big kiddush and shul, let the kids eat all that they want there, and then we'll come home and just do like a quick like challenge or just, you know, something very small. If you're having guests and they say, what can I bring? Usually they mean it. You don't have to say no and give them the thing that you don't want to do. I'm like, don't play this back on me, okay? I get mad when people take my advice and put it back on me. I'm like, could you make the salad, please? Okay, assuming it's someone who I'm comfortable with their bug checking or whatever. Some people hate making dessert, so they might ask their guests to bring dessert. Whatever you kind of like the least, maybe it's a side, let your guests, if they offer, they're happy to help. And it feels good for them to be contributing in some way and not just feel like, oh, you're just having me. Also, talking about guests, you don't have to have guests, okay? If you're at a space in your life, first of all, maybe you're just like less social. Some people are just like, we don't like guests. Not we don't like guests, but we're just like, it's just, we're not such people. Okay, so maybe that's not your strength. You find other ways to help people. I know, it's hard. I can't imagine it. My kids are like, we're not having guests. Like, who are our guests this week? It's not are we having guests, it's who are we having. But we don't have people every week. And you know, there are times where you go through tikkufos where you're feeling overworked or stressed or someone's not well or, you know, your work schedule is hard. So then you don't have guests. Or let's say the kids, it's summer. Maybe in one hand, summer is nice because the Shabbos afternoons are long. It's nice to have people over. But on the other hand, like your kids are around more and it's busier. So if your kids are there Friday and you feel like I can't cook when my kids are around and everyone's going to sleep later in the summer, then maybe that's the time you don't want to have guests. I'm not saying not to. I'm just saying, I'm giving you ideas of things that work for people. So know yourself. Another tip that we say as far as just like general is double everything. Unless you're out of ingredients, then we double everything. Do you know that when I asked you for chocolate chips, I put on the block chat, and Malki said she had chocolate chips. So I sent my daughter up the block. I'm like, see if she has two bags, because then you could double it. And she came back, and she came back with one bag. I said, did you ask? She says, Gavriel answered the door. I'm like, okay, fine. But to me, I would have made a different recipe instead of not doubling, right? But my daughter wanted to do it, so that was fine. They were good chocolate chips. Trader Joe's chocolate chips, they were good. Yeah. Anyway, so doubling everything, unless you're out of the ingredients. I just feel like if you can double a cocoa, you can double a cake, throw it in the freezer. It's there for that week that you need it. Also, if you're like, no, I don't want to double. My husband doesn't like anything from the freezer, blah, blah, blah. Okay, if you're a little more snobby, I won't judge you. But Make for Partners in Shabbos. There's this amazing organization here that sends food to people who can't afford it. Naomi Schwartz runs it. And if you're like, I want to double, but I don't really want to take that out of the freezer in a month or in 2 weeks, so you can make that a way to do some chesed. Okay, the freezer, speaking of which, putting things in the freezer. So, and defrosting. I remember once I was early on in a pregnancy with one of my little girls, I don't remember which, and my friend came over, and it was a Sunday, and it wasn't close to Yontif, and I was, had stuff all over my kitchen, right? I was cooking. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm stocking up my freezer. And she's like, what for? And I was like, you know, just have a stocked freezer. But I knew I was going to need that, right? So sometimes just before that chaos sets in, knowing that you have a chance to stock up before Yontif, I'll work backwards. So this is like, let's say now when we're a month before Purim, and then almost a month before Purim, and then a month after that is Pesach. So what I want to do, this is also like just something that I found works well for me. I want to cook less between Purim and Pesach because I'm busy with Pesach. I'm busy with other stuff. I want to use that time for Pesach cleaning and not Shabbos prep. So in this month before Purim, I'll make sure to like double more and put more things in my freezer so that next month I have more to pull out and I have less to make for Shabbos. So that's just an idea. Also, sometimes, you know, also again, like before Yontif maybe, or just in general, sometimes it works for people to just prep a bunch of things at once and throw them in their freezer, and that way they just start pulling out when they need it. I'll also like go to Costco and buy a bunch of trays of chicken and clean like bunches of chickens, put them in pans, put on a spice or a sauce or whatever, and throw it in the freezer like that, not cooked. And then I just pull it out, put it straight in the oven on Erev Shabbos, and no cleaning chickens on Erev Shabbos. Keep an inventory of what's in your freezer. Dry erase board on your freezer or paper that you can find or on your phone, however you want. And then you at least know what you're choosing from. Probably like I need to do it in the next week or two is really like go to my freezer, see what's there, see if I still need to keep doubling things or if it's going to be Erev Pesach and I'm going to have a full freezer. So, right, you want to like pace yourself. Label your foil pans on the side instead of on the top or in addition to the top so that if you're looking in your freezer, you can see without pulling out all the pans, right? A label on the side. Other things, like there's a lot of things you could freeze. Matzo balls, like you can freeze them on a tray and then put them in a Ziploc bag once they're frozen so they don't like mush together. I'll even like, let's say for Yontif, I'll do this. I'll make all my matzo balls at once and put them in the bag with a number, like how many are in there based on how many people for a meal. If you freeze soup, so I used to like make a big soup and freeze and it was for 4 weeks. As my family, Baruch Hashem, got bigger, I stopped freezing soup and I started making soup every week. And then sometimes it lasts us just into the week, you know, with leftovers for supper one night. But if you want to freeze soup, it does freeze well. What I would do then is when I defrost it, I'll add something fresh, like add a few carrots or something, just so like it doesn't just taste like freezery and yucky. And also sometimes like the vegetable, like the broth, depends on like my family likes to eat the vegetables. Some people just like to serve the broth. The vegetables don't always defrost well. They get like a little mushy. If you freeze a kugel, don't defrost it. Just put it straight in your oven. Then it's like not watery. That just helps it get like better. We have banana muffins in our freezer and they've been there for a little while. And everything is dated in the freezer, right? It says when we put it in. And so I will not pull them out when we have a guest. I will probably, either I'll just take out one muffin and like defrost it and see if it tastes good and it's servable. Or I'll serve it hot. Like I'll put it in the oven or on the hot tray. So then like that takes away that freezer burn if it's a little freezer burn.
Put something on top. Crumble it up and put something on top.
You could crumble it up, but like if I just like it's more like I'm not sure if they're delicious or not, so I might just serve them when it's just my family, or like serve it when it's my family and have a backup plan. Like there's also sorbet in the freezer, so if that those banana muffins aren't yummy, then we'll pull out the sorbet. But I wouldn't do that if I guessed. Also, here's another thing. So if you have little kids, it's not a problem. If you have teenage boys or a husband, so then you put things in the freezer and then you're like, there's a bag of cookies in the freezer. No, there is not a bag of cookies in the freezer anymore. So sometimes we put them all the way in the back. Sometimes, one time I bought something, I think it was ice cream, and I left it in the bag in the freezer and I wrote on the bag, Pearl, that's my neighbor, and I stuck it in my freezer. So my kids would think that this is not ours, the Pearls didn't have enough room in their freezer, and we stored this for them. You can also write like chicken on a pan of cookies. Then they're not going to open it up and because they don't want to eat leftover chicken. Okay, so mislabeling, but you've got to know what it is. Also, like sometimes I hide things, but like I feel like at this point they know all my hiding places. But I also sometimes I'll hide, like if I buy myself like a treat, like chocolate bar just for me or gum, I'll like hide in my apron, has pockets. I think they know that hiding place already, but I think they respect it. Like if it's in mommy's apron pockets, it's really hers. maybe you don't have that issue, but in my house it's sometimes an issue. Also, sometimes like there's certain ingredients I want to keep stocked so I know I can make something quickly and easily. And then I'm like, but someone ate that as like a snack. So also like sometimes I have in my garage like a little cabinet of like overflows. So I'll stick them like all the way in the back. But again, you need an inventory thing. You need to be able to remember that it's there, right? Because sometimes out of sight, out of mind. Okay. Again, things that freeze well, even if you don't want to like, let's say you're like, I don't want those banana muffins to be freezer burnt, and that was a waste of time that I spent making them. So if you're just making for that week, dessert, challah, kugels, you know, freeze them. You could do that earlier in the week, and then it's still like you made it fresh, but it was a few days before. One way to keep your challahs very fresh is to put them, I wrap mine in plastic wrap and not foil. They keep a little fresher, like saran wrap. It's saran wrap. If I'm in a pinch,
what? After I do that, I put in the challah.
Right. So if I'm in, right, if I don't have time, like this week, the challahs came out of the oven very late. So they were just going to go in Ziploc bags, but I had a guest and she was all ready for Shabbos. So I was like, here, make yourself busy while I run in the shower. Anyway, we talked about that already. Okay. Something to point out. Some people prefer to cook something for Shabbos every day of the week, so they're not as overwhelmed at the end of the week. Personally, I don't love that because I feel like I'm making a mess over and over again. I'd rather just make a mess once and have to clean it once. But for some people, that works to, you know, do one thing each day. I actually, last week, by Bubby Mom's Levaya, someone was telling me that she used to, Shani Cohen was telling me that she used to go to her house when she was a kid and bake with her. And she says, Bubby Mom was like very misutter. So she says she would take something out and put it in and put it back in the pantry. Someone who's keeping a very neat kitchen. Again, there's different styles. I just make a flying mess and then I clean up, but whatever works for you. Another thing is don't save things that you could do anytime during the week for Erev Shabbos, because then you have too much to do on Erev Shabbos. Like, don't change your linens on Erev Shabbos. Change them on Wednesday. Change them on Sunday, right? It's the same idea of like, wash your curtains on Matzah Pesach because there's no chametz in them. Like, just don't make yourself too busy. So that's another thing. You know, if you're like, well, I have guests, so I have to change the linens on Erev Shabbos, so because we're moving people bedrooms. So put the fresh linens on, but it's worth having an extra set of linens. Like, you don't have to wash those other linens before Shabbos. Meaning, take off the kids' linens, throw them in the laundry room, and make fresh linens on the bed without having to wash those linens too, right? It seems so simple and it seems obvious, but sometimes we don't think about these things. We're like, and I also have to finish all the laundry. You know what? When Shabbos comes, we say, Ki'ilu kom lachtecha asuya. It's as if all of your work is done. So if there's an unfolded basket of laundry, okay. It's not going to kill anyone to have wrinkled underwear. You know? Sometimes I'll try to like put that basket in a room where I'm not going to see it over Shabbos. No, I don't want it in my bedroom because then it stresses me. Like I'm like, oh, that laundry no one folded. So I'll try to stick it someplace where I won't see it. But, you know, in your head it has to be like everything is done for Shabbos already. Shopping also, like you can do shopping earlier in the week so it's not as stressful. Sometimes, you know, everyone knows you go to the Grove and get everything you need, but you're going to spend a lot more money. So sometimes you have to weigh time versus money. What I'll tend to do is, let's say, go to a different store this week, then next week, and then the next week, so that I kind of will stock up on a few things that I like to get at one store. Personally, I also do a lot of like Instacart or Walmart delivery. And the good thing about that is like I don't have to go shopping, but the bad thing is sometimes you don't get exactly what you want, which is why I'm queen of improvising and being like, oh, they didn't send the whatever. Okay, we'll make this instead or we'll leave that out. So sometimes that works fine and you don't have to be a perfectionist. But I remember like at one time, like the Instacart like subscription was over and I said to my husband, like, I don't know, should we do it? It's $10, like $100, this much or whatever. And he looked at me and he said to me, if someone's delivering the groceries and we're paying them $10 as a delivery fee, your time is worth more. I would pay you more than $10 an hour to do whatever else you're doing. So just a perspective, you know, like obviously if you're really financially pinched, so maybe not. But for me, like it's a good perspective. I don't feel guilty then. Like I'm doing something with my time and I'm worth more than $10 an hour. So also sometimes I will do like shopping and just like run in for those few little things at that store that I need. Like I'll do the Instacart and then just run while I'm out anyway, you know, while you're running carpool or coming back from work, just stop in for those few things. Cleaning help. If you can afford cleaning help, many women feel like that is something that really makes it easier for them. Even if you have a cleaning lady who's it still just looks nicer than not cleaning at all. I personally think that's a very worthwhile investment, and many women will look back and say, I wish I'd taken more cleaning help and been able to spend that time instead with my family. Again, not everyone can afford it. It doesn't always work out, but I'm saying I definitely recommend that. If you are cleaning yourself, you don't have to do it all on Shabbos, right? The upstairs can be done on Tuesday. Like I said, that, you know, keeping ahead of things so your kitchen's not a mess. For me, like, I know if I have a very busy week, my Friday will actually be harder because, like, I wasn't so on top of keeping my kitchen clean the whole week because I ran out right after supper every single night that week, and then it's like my kitchen is just a mess. I know, like, if I can make sure, and that's sometimes worth it for me, let's say on a Wednesday night, to make sure, like, I stayed up that extra 5 minutes to load a dishwasher. If you're washing dishes, it takes longer, but 5 minutes to load up that dishwasher on a flacious dishes Wednesday night, then, like, I know Thursday my facial side is ready to start cooking for Shabbos, and it's not a sink full of dishes. Also, reminders, if you forget things, like you need to defrost things, so then, you know, make yourself reminders on your phone. I remember when I first, like, we used to live in Virginia. So when I lived in Baltimore, I always bought everything, like, fresh from the supermarket. And then when I moved there, I had to buy, like, my meats and chickens in bulk. And, like, for the first, like, I don't know how many months, I always forgot to defrost my chickens before Shabbos, like, until too close to Shabbos. And then you're kind of trying to defrost quickly. So an alarm that, you know, a reminder on your phone. Things to do on Thursday. Sleep. I'm serious. Like, 90% of, like, shalom bias and staying calm is sleep. Like, I don't know. Like, don't you feel like, okay, those who were here a little early heard about what time we went to sleep in my house last night. Just like today, I just like felt like so on edge because I was just tired. Like my kids weren't, I don't think they were being more annoying than any other time, but I just like had no patience for it, right? When you haven't slept, you have less patience. So if it's Thursday, you know, Friday's anyways a hard day, maybe don't stay up till 2 a.m. doing whatever you need to do, because in the end, you're just gonna be grumpier. So it might be better to do a little less than to stay up late. On the other hand, if you're a real night person, maybe that works for you. But again, know yourself. And one thing sometimes Thursday night is like I'll make sure to do things that don't have to stay in the oven for a long time if I don't want to go to sleep super late. So I'm not going to make like things I have to bake, but I'll prep my soup vegetables and I'll like prepare things that I don't have to actually, you know, I'll clean my chickens and put them in the fridge, but then I'll cook everything the next day, but it's ready to go. Just dump it on a pan and, you know, ready. Also, besides, take the things you really don't like to do or the things that take a lot of time or are the hardest for you and you procrastinate and then it's like closer to Shabbos and you're having to do them. Move those things up, do them first, and all of a sudden, like, that big task is out of the way. For me, especially if we baked a lot that week, it's like the power of. We use a lot of power of, and then it's like the kids' water bottles and their Contigos or whatever and the mixer stuff, and, like, all those dishes, I find, like, sometimes I think I have time on Erev Shabbos, and then I'm, like, just spent all that time washing dishes. So sometimes if I can move that to the first thing I do on Friday, it doesn't feel as accomplished as your kitchen smelling yummy, but I know, like, that kind of got things out of the way. Okay, sometimes cooking and being in your kitchen is a great time to be on the phone, catch up with a friend, listen to a shiur. Be conscious of the fact that sometimes you multitask too much and it fails. So if listening to that shiur or talking to your friend is going to slow you down, then sometimes it's not worth it if you don't have the time. Like, I know, like, my schedule sometimes on Friday is, like, I only have an hour on Friday where no one's bothering me. So I sometimes specifically do not listen to anything then because I know I just need to, like, keep going and not being like, what was I doing, right? So just something to think. Also, Erev Shabbos, sometimes we need things to eat and to feed our family. Eating also, besides the sleeping, if you didn't eat, you'll also be grumpier, right? So you're running around Friday and all you had was a coffee. And no wonder you're like snapping at everyone. So take care of yourself, but also taking care of everyone else who needs to eat on Erev Shabbos. One idea is doubling whatever you made for supper Thursday night so people can eat Friday, especially when Shabbos is late, right? When Shabbos doesn't start till late, then sometimes they need more to eat. I just did this last week for the first time, and I was like, why didn't I ever think of that before? When I made salad Thursday night for dinner, I checked all my lettuce for Shabbos, so that freed me up Shabbos morning to be able to go to shul, but I didn't make it to shul anyway. Okay, but that was the plan. Even Rabbitsons don't always come to shul. but to be able to free me up for Shabbos day, like less to do Shabbos morning if I did it Thursday night. Or, of course, you could buy the pre-checked lettuce. Again, the cost versus the money. I try to avoid doing anything extra on Erev Shabbos when possible. So if you have a dentist appointment that could be scheduled just as easily on Tuesday, don't schedule it on Friday, okay? Another thing for Friday is checklists. So it's really funny because I used to have a checklist that of different jobs that had to be done. So that way, what it does is it sort of takes away that nagging. Could you do this? Could you do that? And they just read the list. And sometimes, like, I'll just, like, that last little bit before Shabbos, like, quick write down the things that still have to be done so I'm not, like, issuing orders all over. And it's funny because I hadn't used our checklist in a while, and I was cleaning my cookbook cabinet, which doesn't get cleaned because you don't use it for Pesach, and I found an old checklist, and I was like, oh, cool. Okay, it was very, very rudimentary, but it was like just laminated, so it was dry erased, and I was like, oh, so many of these things are still things we all do on Erev Shabbos. So my kids were like, could you please type it up and redo it nice? Yes, I will. It's on my list. Okay, but I like that because it just takes off the could you do this, could you do that. It's written out. Also, Erev Shabbos, play a little bit of music. It's upbeat. It you know, makes the whole atmosphere a little bit lighter. Sometimes, I'll just give you like my caution on that. We like to have that music going. Sometimes it's just too loud and no one hears what you're asking. And I also have a child who's hearing impaired, and recently he said to me, like, Mommy, I hate the music on Erev Shabbos. And I was like, oh, didn't think about that, right? But again, like, but it does sometimes make, like, for if he's not in the kitchen and the music turns up, but you know, you're trying to talk to people and the music's too loud, then that's also sometimes hard, but it does make people a little happier. A word about small appliance use. So small appliances are very helpful. Thank you. So I told you about our little rotato thing, and that, right, you've got your immersion blender and your food processor and all that stuff. It can be very helpful, but what I weigh sometimes of, should I take out my food processor or do this by hand, is how much time am I taking it out, setting it up, washing it, getting it back away. So if I'm doing a lot that I can use it for, great, then I'll take it out. But you have to sometimes think about that cleanup piece. You know, a few weeks ago, my daughter was home for the week, and she really wanted to, like, get and do stuff in the kitchen, like, when it's your kitchen, it's different than doing it in someone else's kitchen, which, by the way, that's a word of disclaimer. Some of these are the recipes there. They might not actually taste exactly how I make them at home, because I use the Shul's kitchen, and it just wasn't my kitchen. So, so my daughter was home, and, like, we did so much in the kitchen, which was great, and it was so fun to, like, work with her in the kitchen. And on Friday, I'm like, what is taking me so long to clean up? And I realized, because, like, literally every single small appliance. I think I was, like, cleaning up, like, 10 small appliances. Thank you. Anyway. Also, I touched on this about eating Shabbos food. We have the idea of Toameh HaChayim Zachu. Those who taste the Shabbos food get life. And I sometimes have to remind my family, taste, not eat the whole meal before Shabbos, right? If you know you're making something and they love it and it's going to be gone before Shabbos, make more. I was like, maybe I should tell my kids if they want to eat all those potatoes before Shabbos, they are in charge of peeling extra potatoes. But, you know, being practical, like I said, maybe making your soup a little bigger so they can have that before Shabbos. Sometimes it's just like that frozen stuff, you know, frozen pizza, frozen knishes, whatever, that they can kind of, you just pop in the oven. Or let's say make something that you'll use for another part of Shabbos. So let's say you want to make a pasta salad or for Shalosh Shodesh, so then make double the pasta so that you can also serve it to them on Friday afternoon. Just make it parv. Sometimes it's just help yourself. You can have cereal. You can have the Shabbos cereal. That's fine. Yogurt, you know, whatever. Something you can do easily. But yes, you definitely can make extra Shabbos food so that they'll eat. I also do find that if they've really, really eaten the Shabbos food before Shabbos, then they're not so hungry Friday night because they just ate all that chicken 2 hours before or whatever. Timing, like working backwards, if you know it takes you X amount of time to shower and put on your makeup, so move backwards to when you have to be upstairs and out of your kitchen. It takes me X amount of time to clean up. I laugh because when I was first married, like my mother was always like using those 18 minutes and I was like, I'm not gonna. And I worked backwards and it was like, okay, if I get in the shower 2 hours before Shabbos, then an hour before Shabbos, I'm already, I could put away everything that I washed. Now, like, I laugh. I'm like, there's no way that's happening. My life, Baruch Hashem, is busier, and I don't have that luxury of all that time. But I do still try to work backwards to make things work. And also sometimes figuring out where you get stuck. Like, if you're working backwards and you're like, I'm still not ready for Shabbos on time, like, what is it that's always slowing me down? I realize, like, when we go away for Shabbos, which is rare. My husband's the Rav of Shul. We don't go away so much for Shabbos. When we go away for Shabbos, I always think, well, that's the week I'm not using the 18 minutes because I don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. It never works. I'm always running late because I think we think, like, I'm like, oh, I have all the time in the world. I don't have to do anything. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, it's almost Shabbos and you're not ready yet. So figure out where you get stuck. I'll let you know if we're supposed to go away the Shabbos. I don't know if we are or not. But if we do, I'll let you know next time if I got stuck on Arab Shabbos. Oh, one more piece of if all your work is done, you know, I don't know, maybe some of you are more organized, but do you have that like dump counter where like all the mail gets and all the kids' papers and like that one counter that's like full of stuff, like papers, right? So I like to, if I have time, sort it out, like garbage to do, to file, give each kid a pile to take up, right? But sometimes I know I just don't have the time. Dumped in one big pile, thrown on my desk until the next time I organize my desk or I need something. Being dressed before candle lighting is a thing because you're supposed to change your clothes for Shabbos. So not at the expense of making Shabbos late and doing malacha on Shabbos, but preferably to be dressed before Shabbos. If your Shabbos robe is dressed and that's how you're staying for the meal, that's fine. But, you know, to be looking like you're ready for Shabbos. Just a word about the 18 minutes. Again, if you can be organized enough and not use them at all, amazing. If you could be super organized and Tosefta Shabbos, even bring in Shabbos early, kudos to you. I'm mekana you. I wish I could all the time. But one rule that we did make, it's really a halachic rule, is not to use the last 5 minutes of the 18 minutes. Because your calculation of when Shabbos is might be a little wrong. Your clock might be a little wrong. You might think you're like using the 17th minute, but then all of a sudden you look at the clock and you were actually Machal Shabbos. That's just as Machal Shabbos as doing whatever it was you did, as lighting a candle Shabbos day. So do be careful about that. So we try, those last 5 minutes are off limits. We also keep a bowl of change by the candles so that I'm not like scrambling around for tzedakah money because it's an inyan to give tzedakah when you light candles. And that one thing is, just a halachic thing, we try to use that for something else during the week, like some other change, kids need money or whatever, because you can't give the same money to tzedakah twice. Like if we say this is the tzedakah money, then you can't put it in the pushka, like it's already given to tzedakah. So this is the change bowl, it's not the tzedakah bowl. Okay? Okay, Shabbos itself. If you want to go to shul, Shabbos morning, so sometimes after the meal Friday night, I'll set the table so that things are more done. And again, like let's say a salad that has roasted vegetables in it, so that's more work on Erev Shabbos, but it's less work on Shabbos morning than starting to chop your vegetables. So also weighing, where do I have more time? Do I have more time Shabbos morning to prep, or do I have more time before Shabbos? When you serve a kugel, I saved this one in the aluminum pan to show you. I thought this is so pasha, but apparently it's not. So I was at my friend's house, who's married as long as me, Kamat, maybe a few years less, and she didn't know this. And I was like, what? Okay, so when you have that kugel in the pan and you want to serve it on the platter, so what you do is, I think this is so obvious, but people are like, oh, that's so smart. You turn it upside down. Okay. And now, if I wanted it to be a right side up kugel, then I would do this. I would put this upside down and turn it all over. But this one, I wanted to serve this way so you could see the blueberries and just lay it like that. Actually, I probably would have just flipped it right onto the pan. Okay. But like I was watching my friend like scoop out her potato kugel piece by piece. And I'm like, what are you doing? Flip the whole thing over, flip it back on your square tray, and that's it. And then cut it on the tray. I also sometimes will use a pizza cutter to cut a kugel. Sometimes it's easier than like getting all those edges. Like, it's just sometimes a trick that works. What else? Okay, let's say I use something on Shabbos and I used it up, and so it needs to go on my shopping list now. So I will leave the empty container on my counter so that I don't forget to put it on my shopping list. So like that empty thing of mayonnaise or that empty crane container on the counter so that I remember to buy more. I said this already, if you have no guests for Shabbos lunch and you had a crazy week, chalons and salad, or just chalons, or, you know, a little deli. It doesn't have to be fancy. Okay, Matzei Shabbos, a few things. Like I said before, there's an idea of Tosefa Shabbos, adding on Shabbos, not just before, but after. Again, it doesn't work for everyone. There's also an idea of Malava Malka, which, again, you could make easy. It could be Shabbos leftovers, or maybe it's a special thing. You keep, you know, some garlic knots in your freezer that you can pull out for Malava Malka. When you're cleaning up, sometimes like Shabbos is over and you're just like, oh, I don't feel like cleaning up. It's like you're tired, you're done. Remembering that cleaning up is also a part of that L'kavod Shabbos. They say like, right, the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash would do a job called Trumas HaDeshen, which was taking out the ashes. Like that was part of it, and that was a respectable job, was to take out the garbage. You're doing things to make it work. Again, dishes versus paper, there's nothing wrong. There's plenty of pretty paper out there. You know, I tend to buy it like by the case. I ran out of forks. Like I had the clear plastic knives and spoons, but no forks. And I realized I kept forgetting because I didn't want to leave that whole big Costco box sitting on my counter when my guests were coming. And this past Shabbos, I just served clear forks and knives and white forks, and I was like, that just looks so whatever. But I was like, they're not coming here for the pretty forks, and they will come back again, I guess. I know they will. Yeah.
Don't leave the whole box out, but leave that one knife for one fork.
Right, maybe I would remember, but I'd be like, why don't someone leave this fork on the counter? Whoever wants can text me now, buy clear plastic forks this week, and I will remember to do that, because I don't think it made it to my list. Another thing about storing leftovers, first of all, if you're like done from Shabbos and you don't want to have to cook, so sometimes we purposely make extra so you don't have to cook during the week as much. Sometimes we serve leftovers on Monday instead of Sunday, so everyone's not as sick of them. Especially if you're working on Monday, it might be easy to come home and have dinner ready. On the other hand, Sunday, if you have a lot of people around, kids around, and you're doing a lot of stuff, Sunday might be a hard day to make dinner. So just thinking about those things. Also, as far as storing your leftovers, if you have the space in your fridge, then we try to leave them in what you serve them in so that you don't have to wash more dishes. Like, why do you need I remember my friend saying, my mother, she moves it to a smaller bowl, and then she eat a little more, so she moves it to a smaller bowl, and then she had five bowls already from that same whatever it was, right? Okay, so we do try to do that, less to wash. Also, the one thing is, some of the things, if you, like, reheat them in the oven, then they gunk on, like, if they're saucy or whatever, so then I probably would move them to a different container. Okay. The handout has recipes. I'm not going through the handout, but I do want to point out a few things. First of all, the same menu versus a different menu. No, like, sometimes the same is fine. If it's tried and true, your kids will eat it. Like, you don't always have to be fancy and figure out something new, right? Sometimes just doing the same thing works. If you want to try something new, you should know that, like, I hesitate to try something new for Yontif. Like, on the one hand, you want to because it's Yontif and it's nicer. But on the other hand, I just feel like it's so much to do when there's always more to do for Yontif if you're preparing more meals. So I try not to make new for Yontif. If you haven't seen this cookbook, everyone has their favorites, but this one, thank you. I see how well used it is. Dinner Done, Between Carpools, they have like a website also. I was just flipping through and there's some really good recipes. It's funny because I knew about Between Carpools, but I didn't have this cookbook and I was asking Shalva, I was like, tell me, like, I said, I don't want to give them like all these like nerd, like food comes in and out of style. And like, I'm married 25 years, more than that. So for me, like, you know, some things are tried and true, but I'm like, they're 25-year-old recipes and they're not like in. You see like salads come in and out. So I was like, Shalva, well, what's in? You know? So she's like, the Dinner Done cookbook, my friend said. And then I didn't realize that she was talking about Between Carpools, but that's That's good. And also, sometimes you have an easy, fast cookbook, and some of the recipes are actually not easy and fast. So pick and choose based on what you're able to do. Okay. Where was I? Also, sometimes, if it's weekday still, Googling is faster than going through your cookbooks. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like sometimes I find what recipe I'm looking for more easily by searching for it than going through. Question?
Or just...
Oh, so that's also good. I usually will screenshot it, and then we have a shared album, me and my daughter, of recipes. So, but you still have to look through those pictures on that. But, right, save it on your notes, however, find a way to do it. The only thing that's yucky about having it on your phone is then your phone is like in your mess in your kitchen when you're trying to work. But whatever system works for you. If you look, the handout is split into, can I grab that for a second? Sorry, please have another. Into different parts of your meal, appetizers. We gave you a few different suggestions. Some of those recipes we put on for specific reasons. Like, let's say this ambrosia. I like that because you can make it on Shabbos morning. So, like, I'll usually do that for a yontif. The thing is, I like to do it when it's, like, hot outside. And sometimes, like, when you make it for Pesach and it's still freezing outside and everyone's like, they don't want something refreshing like that. But, sometimes I'll just, like, open the cans before Shabbos of everything. If you're doing it on Shabbos, you have to be careful about the halachos there. But and then just, like, you know, dump it all together Shabbos morning. Like we said, mini matzo versus matzo balls. Matzo balls, if you don't have time, again, they can freeze. But if it's a Friday, you're like, shoot, matzo balls, I don't have time. It takes 4 seconds to make matzo balls, really, in my humble opinion, unless you're making 30 of them. I do them in my soup pot, so I'm not having to journey another pot. Like, the soup is boiling anyway. But again, like, sometimes I have a gluten-free guest, so then I'll make them definitely separate. Okay, sides. Also, sides, we also put a few different things. If you're short on time, don't make kugel. My daughter also told me kugels are out of style. My husband told me that's apikarsis. Yeah. What? But they're out of style. But he was like, that doesn't, and we eat out someplace, which we very rarely do. And he said that, and she's like, no, I still make kugels. But anyways, one thing I would just say is kugels do take more time. Grains, especially like rice or you know, couscous or orzo, especially like there's here it says, like, your real pinch is like your Near East couscous in the microwave in an oven to table dish. Like, that's really not time consuming. The orzo with mushrooms there also, like, literally takes 5 minutes to mix it up. So that's why we gave you some of those. Also thinking about, like, if you don't have space in your oven, sometimes then doing something in the microwave is faster. To me, I do this more for a weekday thing than for a Shabbos thing, but sometimes I'll put, like, rice at the bottom of the pan of chicken and vegetables, and then everything is just in one pan. That's also fast. Potatoes versus rice, like rice you're not having to peel and chop, so that's faster. My husband happens to hate rice, so we don't do so much rice. We'll do more potatoes, but like I sometimes think about baby potatoes, they might cost a little more, but you don't have to peel them. Again, depending, time versus money sometimes. Right, the red ones or the Yukon ones might not have to be peeled. And again, like I said, the rotator, you know, the potato peeler versus the food processor and cleaning up. Also, like, we just have a lot of different potatoes so we don't get bored of them. So there's, like, the Hamish potatoes, like the garlic powder, onion powder, you know, a few onions. Just, like, you're still chopping, but just to not get bored of them. Also, some of the recipes are here because, like, if you make them, you can make them on Shabbos. So, like, the noodles or a pasta salad, so I'll do that. And then all I did on our Shabbos was cook the noodles, and then Shabbos I could still make the rest. Pre-made crust, puff pastry, things that make things easier for you. Vegetables also, the next page is different vegetables. some of the tips are mixed in there. But also, like, the reason I'll say I gave you the spaghetti squash is because it's fast. Like, literally it takes 3 minutes to prepare that if you have a good knife. A word about vegetables also. Roasting versus sautéing versus sticking them in the microwave if you're really in a pinch, right? That frozen broccoli, it's obviously not going to taste as good to put your broccoli in the microwave, but, right, you can do that where you don't have space in your oven. Green beans, broccoli, cauliflower, like, less chopping, less prepping, just even if you throw them on a pan, put some spices and throw them in the oven and roast them, everyone's happy. Butternut squash is another kind of squash that also just, like, chop in half, scoop out the seeds, maybe a little cinnamon on top, depending how you like it. Very fast. No, you don't peel it. Cut it in half, scoop out the seeds, like roast it, you know, or cook it. Or I'll usually put a little water at the bottom.
Put it in the air fryer. It's faster.
In the air fryer, okay. Bag salad, again, slicing things rather than dicing them, right? Like if you're going to chop really small, that's taking longer. And also like chickpeas, baby carrots, to roast those, you really like no peeling, no chopping. Just throw them in the oven. The chickens are on the next page. Basically, chickens that have less ingredients, less, you know, don't saute this first and then add this to the pan and then, right, the less ingredients, the less measuring, easier. You don't have to serve schnitzel every Shabbos lunch. Sometimes like that grilled chicken is faster than the schnitzel because you just, right, just threw on some spices and put it in the oven and you're not breading and stepping, step one, step two, and frying. Also, baking your schnitzel could be less messy and maybe not taste quite as good, a little healthier. I don't fry because I forget. I don't have the patience to stand over it, and then I start doing something else, and then it burns. We only have fried chicken when my son comes home and makes it. But again, like deli or a deli roll doesn't take so long. And again, you could grill. You don't have to like go out to your grill, or you could. Some people like to do that even if it's cold. But you can also just do that in the oven. A note about guests with dietary needs. I remember the first time I was probably married like a year or two and we had this neighbor who was vegetarian, I think. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't know. And I was like panicking. I just like made an extra side dish or two. I didn't go to the tofu-y and all the soy based. I that wasn't in my whatever. So I just made sure I had like a grainy type of side so she wouldn't be hungry. A few weeks ago, I had someone over who was vegan. And I just made from my regular stuff, but made sure I made stuff that you could eat because that also meant no mayonnaise, no eggs. I had to make a batch of challah that week anyway. My challah recipe does not have eggs in it anyway, but I usually egg the top. So I left two challahs from the batch without egg on the top, and I looked up a substitute of something else to make it brown. You know, and he was like, thank you so much. I was like, it was so not a big deal. Like, I didn't make anything that I don't anyways make, right? And again, I made an extra side. Like, I made, let's say, like, potatoes and orzo instead of just one so that he wouldn't be hungry. That was quite a lively conversation with one of the other guests about why he's vegan. That was just an interesting one. Anyways. Okay. Oh, also, right, like gluten-free. So like my daughter's actually gluten-free, but she wasn't always. So it's like a little bit newer and she hasn't lived at home really being gluten-free. But like, again, like there's things that I make anyway. I will not make like the gluten-free flour that doesn't always taste so good. I will just make something that I make that doesn't have flour in it, okay? So desserts, I try to avoid cookies if I can, unless I have kids who wanna roll them. Also, these cookies on the table, I reserve the right to say if everything doesn't taste amazing, it's because I use the Scholl's kitchen and it's just not my kitchen. It's an industrial kitchen with an industrial oven. So the things might taste better if you try them in your own kitchen. But the cookies are this. This is from Costco. It's a Starkey. It's Parv. It just comes cookie dough and you plop them on the tray. And that's quick and easy. Some of the, you might even have like make cookie dough.
It's in the refrigerator.
Refrigerator section. I wasn't actually the one who picked it up, so I can't tell you exactly where. But also like sometimes if you make cookie dough in advance, you don't have time to do it, like put it in a paper towel roll, like roll it in a roll and then you could just slice and put out. So, but in general, I try not to make cookies. I'd rather make bars or blondies because that's faster. Also, like things that need a lot of steps, or put it in the freezer and then take it back out. Forget it. No, it needs to just like go and be done. I'm not saying I never do those things, but in general, like I only if I really have time. Duncan Hines, what? Yeah, you probably take it out if it's. Well, we put it in the fridge. It's probably okay. We'll get it in a second. Duncan Hines, my sister-in-law used to tell me. She says Duncan Hines spent gazillions of dollars perfecting their recipe, so I'm not sure why you think you're going to do better than them. So Duncan Hines is definitely something. Keep a box or two on hand. Mix it in the pan that you're baking it in. Don't even dirty up a bowl. If you don't have enough oil, I think it says you could use applesauce instead. Okay. So there are things that you could do gluten-free desserts, Rice Krispie treats, but not all Rice Krispies are gluten-free, so you have to get the gluten-free one. Jell-O, Ambrosia. You could always buy dessert. Trader Joe's has babka, that is pasi sorrel, if you're makka to eat pasi sorrel only on Shabbos. Sorbet, nuts, candy, a tray from Chocolate Emporium, ices. We forgot to put the recipe in, but this cake that I flipped over is basically a Duncan Hines yellow cake, but instead of the water that they say to put in, we put in lemon juice and we added blueberries. Yeah, well, you could definitely taste things afterwards. Fruit, also if I'm serving fruit for dessert, let's say grapes need no preparation, like much less preparation than your melon or something like that. They don't need to be checked for bugs. They don't need to be chopped. It's a choking hazard for little kids, so think about that. Baked apples, you could also microwave them. That's a worthwhile gadget to pull out the, you know, the apple slicer core. How fast is that? Just choop, choop, choop. And then I usually put them in a Pyrex so it can look pretty to come to the table. I like layer in the apples with a little bit of like cinnamon and lemon juice, sometimes some cloves, depends on what I'm in the mood of, nutmeg, whatever. Throw it in the oven, bake it till it's soft, and my kids love it.
I just saw how you could use that for potatoes also, that apple cutter for potatoes.
I think maybe once did that.
I've seen that.
But it depends on how you want your potatoes
shaped. Right.
Also, sometimes with the apples, like you could even leave them whole. And just like then let cut them after they're baked. Also, if you have no ingredients. So let's say you have no eggs. So you can, first of all, you could do like the Jell-O or those kind of things. This chocolate cake doesn't have eggs in it. It's our no egg chocolate cake. It's not as good as usual. It's usually like very moist. But that's, and you can make it in a bundt pan. You can make it in a loaf pan. You can make it in muffins. If we also have a recipe there for the biscotti, you have no margarine, you have no oil, make the biscotti. If you have no flour, go back to that gluten-free list. And when worse comes to worse, you put it on your block chat and your friendly neighbors are like, here I have, and you're like, thanks, and you send the kids out in the snow to go get it. And then the kids are busy for a few minutes. And also thinking about, like, some of these things don't need to be baked, like some of those gluten-free suggestions. So if you don't have space in your oven or time to bake it, some of those things are good. Shal shudis in the winter, matzah and peanut butter and jelly. Honestly, like, no one's hungry. You know, obviously, in the summer, if you're having people over. But again, you could buy things, hummus, dips. You can make a little extra for lunch to put over for shal shudis. Shabbos party, unexpected afternoon visitors. Just try to keep things on hand that you could pull out. Packaged cookies, maybe, or trail mix, or candy. Again, some I find I can't hide those things well in my house. Chips also work. Also, figure out, like, the things that you know are quick and easy to make. Keep those things on hand in your pantry. Like, you know, like I said, matzah for if you don't have time, or it's winter and you don't really want those rolls for Shal Shudis. Crystal Light, if you forgot to buy soda or whatever. A pair of milk that's shelf-stable. Just, like, keeping those things on hand makes you kind of have things that you need. And also, like, a can of chickpeas, a can of corn, so you could quick make an extra salad. A few weeks ago, we were going away for winter break, so I was, like, made, like, every vegetable, everything in my house, because I had so many vegetables in my drawer to get rid of. And also, like, I feel like if you're in the store and you're like, do I have this at home? Do I not have it? Just buy it. Unless it's getting very close to Pesach, just buy it. You'd rather have two than not. And keeping, like, your basics stocked. I think that just a few words in closing. One is everything that we made here. So the cookies are this. The chocolate cake is no egg chocolate cake, but I promise you it tastes better in my own kitchen. That cookie pie, like the recipe is on here, right? Isn't it? It literally, Marnie, how long did it take us to make it?
Like 30 seconds.
Wait, Malka smashed the cookies,
right?
And 10 minutes looking for something to smash it with, but because we weren't in my own kitchen. But really, like, I mean, less than 5 minutes to make that.
The longest part was
defrosting the riches with. Yeah. You don't even whip it. Like, literally, you just pour it in, throw in your cookie crumbs. By the way, just a word, they are made with real Oreos, which are OUD. For Shabbos, I would make them definitely with from brand so that they're pasi sorrel, but just so you know if you are makbid tonight, whatever. No, well, they're dairy equipment. They're dairy equipment. But yeah, everything, and again, like the licorice, the nuts, like that's just quick, easy. No one had to do anything to make that happen. I will say just in closing a few things. First of all, just like, daven for Siyata Dishmaya. Really, like, I feel like you have to daven. Hashem help me I'm not doing this because I'm lazy. I'm not doing this because I don't care about Shabbos. But I want to put my energies into being a calm person and into Shabbos himilizok and not yelling on Shabbos and just into like making my family happy, healthy, satisfied. And again, knowing yourself and knowing what you can and can't do. It's really, I really strongly believe it's better to be more of a mensch with one less dessert, one less kugel, one less fancy thing than to be a mess. Next week it's not Sunday night, it's Wednesday night, because I think I'm out of town on Sunday. But it will really be like much more interactive if you didn't like listening so much. And also, I hope I didn't talk too fast. I think I'm also used to listening to everything on double time and I talk fast anyway. But I just wanted, felt like it was just like a lot of small ideas.
It's good,
but
it's good.
If you're not sitting at the table, we do have extra plates here and you can certainly help yourself to try some of the things that we have here. And does anyone have any questions? No? You know what I will throw out? I was going to do this now, but if you have amazing suggestions that you think everyone here could benefit from, feel free to text or email me, and I can email that out to everyone. Also, if you did not RSVP, then please, you have the sign-in sheet still? Who has it? There's a sign-in sheet. You can just please sign in, and then if we have more tips, we'll send them to you. Or if you didn't get a handout and you want it emailed to you or whatever, let me know.